Hello, this is Matt McGee from Undead Times, hosted and produced by KFAI. Joining me today is
Lydia Stark
and Elena Repiva.
Alright, so today, what are we listening to, Lydia?
Well, we are starting out with some thrash metal. Nothing but thrash metal for this whole 30 minutes.
Very catchy, very huge genre, but first let's turn to the news. Amon Amarth have released brand new video, Raven's Flight. It is coming from their new album Berserker that will be out on May 3rd. They have moved into a different direction with this one, at least as far as one video can give you some account. It sounds pretty heavy, even heavier than before. It's a little bit less foxy and more in a death metal direction. At the same time, Dream Theater's Jordan Radis have posted the official lyrics video for Wired for Madness Part 1 from his upcoming solo album Wired for Madness. People say it's a stellar work, I will have to just believe them. That first lyrics video does sound fun. And the album will be out on April 19th. Employed to Serve, a band I've been getting into, a technical hardcore from United Kingdom, dropped a brand new video for Harsh Truth, taken from their upcoming album Eternal Forward Motion. Note from a band. Lyrically, Harsh Truth is an anthem for the ill-represented masses who are struggling behind the veil of positive social media posts. The world is a better place with you in it, so please seek help as it's always there. There is a brand new Devin Townsend's video for the single Evermore, and it is hilariously serious, or seriously hilarious, whichever way you want to go. It's completely ludicrous, okay? This is Devin, this is Heavy Devi at its best, and it's effing with your brain every single moment. It's also a huge treat for all cat owners. You guys will love it. Ozzy Osbourne have paid tribute to late guitar player Bernie Torme, who died earlier this week after he had been on life support for the last 4 weeks following post-flu complications. And Ozzy, who recruited Torme for a handful of live shows in 1982, that was following the death of Randy Rhoads, was the first person to pay, or one of the first people to pay, respects to the guitar player on social media. Today, Children of Bodom will be at the Skyway with Swallow the Sun, Wolfheart and Hollow Cry, and Alexi Lyo will be at Capitol Guitars in St. Paul from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. I think that's quite a treat. Now, looking back at the past, we had quite a few albums released right around March 20th. I couldn't find anything on March 20th. It was like, wow. Absolutely have to talk about it. But on March 19th, Gojira have released Terra Incognita. That's back in 2001. Jungle Rat have released Terror Regime back in 2013. And tomorrow we'll see a bit of an anniversary, I guess, for Death's Symbolic album. That's, of course, March 21st, 1995. Yeah. So let's hear from that very album, Perennial Quest, that is by Death of the Symbolic. Enjoy.
On the stones that we walk.
So, what song are we starting with? Does anybody know?
I would like to start with a band that is near and dear to me, Creator, same age as I am, 36 years old, started out as their mentor back in 1982. Actually, have been several bands, they're out of Germany, and is one of those legendary bands, they have changed names, whole bunch. 1982, they were Metal Militia, Tyrant, and their mentor, and then in 1984, they came together as Creator. And I wish I knew about them earlier in my life, maybe when I was a teenager, because, honest, they do sound like pop nowadays. 2017 album, Gods of Violence, full of very catchy melody and very catchy riffs, and a song from that, actually a song from a Japanese bonus, a bonus track on a Japanese release, is The Earth Under the Soul.
I'm the trophy of this disease.
Welcome back to the Undead Times. You just finished listening to Death Angels' Hatred United, United Hate, off their 2016 album, The Evil Divide.
That's so funny, they're doing a whole interplay of United Divided thing there. I appreciate that. Right before that, we had The Earth Under the Sword, a bonus track of the Japanese release of Gods of Violence 2017, Creator.
So we were talking about how thrash metal kind of intersects with other genres. Sometimes it's closer to death metal, sometimes it's closer to power metal, like some of Creator's music. But sometimes it's just pure thrash. Like this next band we're going to play, Havoc, they just do awesome, new school, old school inspired thrash metal. And it's, dare I say, everything thrash metal should be. It's catchy, it's fun, it's head bangable, and God, it's fun to mosh to.
In my opinion, Havoc is a really, like you said, a really good representation of how thrash should be. I will not say they're like the best thrash band of all time, but they do capture like the right amounts of progressive elements, but the right amounts of old school elements, and they're overall that like perfect amount of easy listening, but still true to the roots. So it just, it's what thrash metal, in my opinion, should be.
Not to say we don't love other thrash crossovers, you know, any other crossover band. But this next one is From the Cradle to the Grave by Havoc, here on Undead Times, produced and recorded at KFAI.
And I have to back announce that one, because another band that I appreciate quite a lot, everybody goes on about Nervosa being like the big thrash metal, feminist and female, all-female band. But out of Singapore there is Tormentress. They only have one EP and one album, but I think those girls will go very, very far. That was Vijaus the Feminista, the Visions of the Feminist, of their 2009 Thrash and Disorder.
And before that, of course, we heard from Havoc with From the Cradle to the Grave. Matt, do you know when that came out?
I believe that was around 2011. That was an EP in between Time Is Up and Unnatural Selection, so it's about 2011, I'd say.
That was the Point of No Return EP,
yep,
am I
Point
right?
Point of No Return EP.
Got it. Havoc is super fun live. I've seen them 3 times now. Does that sound right?
Yep, we've both seen them 3 times. Absolutely amazing live, and on that song especially, they posted this live video, and I think it was like the breakdown-ish part, like halfway through it, they all just were headbanging in a synchronized manner, and they don't cheat themselves out of headbanging. Reese throws himself around, David really throws himself around, but then there's Nick Shenzelos. That dude just, he brought a whole new meaning to stage energy.
That's nice. It actually was interesting listening to them. They do have that very new school vibe. So, question to you. What for you is the difference between old thrash and new thrash?
I don't think I could put a finger on it. It's just the way they sound. I mean, of course, old school music, metal of any sort, is less produced and definitely more raw, and new school is more produced and you know, cleaner cut. But otherwise, it's just the way it sounds. I don't know. Do you have any insights as to this, Matt?
In my opinion, for what I've kind of picked up, it's more so on their willingness to incorporate stuff that isn't stereotypically thrashy. So like Time Is Up is a very more old school oriented album because it's just very raw, to the point thrash metal, whereas their most recent album, Conformicide, they had so many, like, primarily due to Nick's bass influences, they had some really funky bass tapping stuff, bass slapping stuff, and it overall comes off really progressive, and I think that's like a big differentiating factor from old school to new school.
I think in general in metal music there is this vibe right now of over-increasing technicality in all genres. If you compare even like how power metal sounds now versus how it sounded before, there is so much cross-pollination, and power metal borrowing from funk that might sound weird, but just like thrash borrowing from funk, like funky bass lines, you know, more bluesy bass lines, but it works. And I feel that among the musicians there is better knowledge and better appreciation for all genres of music, and that's what they're incorporating into more of the new wave thrash, new school. I think we got one last song, yes?
Yes, so this last song is from New York thrashers Extinction AD. They were here in July opening for Havoc.
They're another one of those thrash bands that has an amazing stage presence, absolutely energetic. I think the guys in Extinction AD were like jumping 5 feet off the stage.
Oh, yeah.
It was insane.
They're, first of all, they're all like super ripped, and you can tell they are very energetic. Some Rick, when he'd be playing on stage, you know, he's the vocalist and everything, when it would be enough of a break where he didn't have to do vocals, as he said, he essentially pulled a Scott Ian and would just soar through the stage. And keep in mind, at the Amsterdam where they played, especially with all the other like amps loaded on already, they only had so much room to move around it, but they used all the space. And I was briefly talking about it earlier, but they unintentionally have a lot of like little glam influences that you don't hear on the recording, but you definitely see it live. So on the intro to this song, Secret Worlds, Ian, their lead guitarist, will actually like use the Floyd a lot. So he'll play the chord and then do the whole like trills and everything like you see so much in glam metal.
I think that's really cool. Let's get right into it. Here is Extinction AD.
Seeking publication. Come on, let's go to war. Let's go.